Hey, everybody, you're kicking it with the Homeboys and the Homeboys Podcast. And today we are talking about the blunders, the pitfalls, the mistakes that Scotty and I have made over the years. Happy to be here with you, brother. How are you?
I'm doing great. We both are going to have plenty of mistakes to talk about here that hopefully will help people avoid those mistakes that we've made and other mistakes that we've seen other people make.
I'm surprised. I thought you were just going to get up and leave the room because you've never made a mistake before.
Yeah, no, I've
You're gonna add a few things to this?
No, I thought I made a mistake once, but I was mistaken.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
but in all seriously, this is
the reality. We've screwed up a lot.
We've screwed up a lot.
A bunch. And continue to do so.
And we want to share this info so that other people don't make these same mistakes, because we see people making a lot of these same mistakes over and over. We just had somebody come to us with 100 of these mistakes, over 100. And we're going to hopefully share some of our personal mistakes so that you don't have to make them. What's your biggest mistake that you've made?
Well, I tell you what, I mean, we discussed what topic we were going to talk about today, I went back to the beginning of my real estate career and thought about what were my biggest, challenges, starting out. And I think the biggest thing that I would tell people is don't trust anyone. Mm. You know, I was very trusting. And especially when you're dealing, in the contractor world. You know, if you're investing in properties and you're dealing with your own contractors, I've said it many times, being a contractor is almost a license to steal. It was 20 years ago. It's even worse, today. Man, I had so many contractor mistakes early on in my career. Now, I know, we sell turnkey properties to a lot of our clients where they don't have to mess with contractors, and that doesn't really apply to people that are investing that way. But a lot of people, are doing the BRRRR strategy or, acquiring themselves, fixing up, subbing, the workout. You got to be cautious, and I think that goes across the board. Like, you have to really put together the right team of contractors, the right team of real estate agents, the right team of, you have to have an accounting professional, a lawyer, really, really ask a lot of questions and do your homework. But out of the gate, whenever I first started, I think my biggest mistake was being too trusting of contractors.
Yeah, you got to find the right people. That's a great one. I feel like I can beat that
I'm just getting started, homie. Yeah.
Well, I think this is the number one mistake we see other clients make, and there's nobody who made it bigger or worse than myself, and that is buying bad properties in bad areas. Now, how do you define that? Pretty simple. If you won't send your mother there at night to pick up a rent check, then you should not be buying that property. We focus on the suburbs and higher end areas.
I say that about myself. My mom's a heck of a lot tougher than me. So like if I personally couldn't go there at night, then that's what I base it on.
If Clint's too scared to go there during daylight hours, then it's a bad area. But in all seriousness, we see so many people think of rental properties as being properties that are in the inner city or bad areas or are cheap, and you're just trying to make a dime and barely keep it together with lipstick on a pig. No, that is the recipe to get yourself in trouble. Before you know it, those tenants don't stay. They trash the place. You have to rehab it again. Then you get another tenant. They don't pay. You evict, and it turns into what Clint and I refer to as the cycle of death. It's never ending.
I do think you did beat me. You did one-up me, because I think this is the most important lesson that they can have, and ourselves included, is I think it's very common when you first start out people gravitate to bad areas for one reason. They see these on-paper returns, and we call them on-paper returns because, it's a fugazi, it's fairy dust, fugazi, it's not real, and what we mean by that is, he said that this with the cycle of death, you get a pro forma that's showing you a 15% cash on cash return, huge red flag. You don't see 15% cash on cash returns with good properties and good neighborhoods these days, or if you do, it's exceptionally rare. But you see something with this type of return and you fall in love with it, like, oh, this is a great deal. This is going to give me more money. But yes, you're not going to attract a quality tenant. They're going to tear the property up. You're on the cycle of death. I did it early in my career. You did it tenfold early in your career. Not to call you out, but I think you're right. And I think that that is the biggest thing that we need to drive home is be cautious of real returns versus on paper, let me say Fugazi.
Yeah, fake returns. Yeah. And even if it's not on a piece of paper, it's hard to you look at a property and you think, okay, I can buy this for under $100,000. I barely have to do anything to it because tenants don't expect much in that price range. And I'm gonna get rents of $1,100 a month. No. Your tenant is not going to pay you on the first of the month every month. Before you know it, you will have to evict them. The house will be trashed and you will have to do it again over and over. And we see this all the time that people have to keep pouring money into these to keep the properties at least tenantable, livable, and they're upside down before you know it and they lose giant, giant sums of money. It's really, really dangerous to chase that. Whereas if you just focused on good properties in good areas, you can get amazing returns. People look at cash flow too much in some cases too. And instead, think about the tenant paying down that mortgage. Think about a property in a good area, how much more that appreciates than these bad properties in bad areas. The only way out of those is to find some other sucker that's willing to take your hot potato. It's literally hot potato with these properties.
I remember you saying one time that I'm scared the most about the properties that have the highest returns. And I remember when you said it thinking, oh gosh, there's going to be a huge backlash of people calling you an idiot. And like, what do you mean? But it's true. You know, like my dad always used to say, son, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. No different than this. I think that, you know, this should be a topic. I didn't realize that this is where the podcast was going to go, but this should be a topic for a much larger discussion because it is so vital and so very important.
Well, I think we've covered really the biggest two mistakes that we see folks make, which is they buy bad properties in bad areas, and two, they get in to real estate investing with the wrong people or the wrong people supporting them, whether that's realtors, property managers, attorneys, accountants. They get the wrong people giving them advice. So what do you think the third biggest mistake for folks to avoid is?
Well, it's for me personally, and my biggest mistake was the holding of the real estate. You know, if you can channel your inner Jerry Seinfeld.
Anyone can take a reservation.
Anybody can just take them. But, you know, early in my career, I thought that churning and burning money was the thing to do. And I sold, you know, so many great properties. We just did some short form content about my bachelor pad, you know, before I got married. Mm-hmm. I paid $40,000 for it. I put $150,000 into it. I sold it, I think, for $450,000. So it was, I did very well on it. It's worth $1.1 million today.
Right.
And we're not talking a long time. You know, we're talking the difference between 2015 and 2024. And I could go through probably 50 other examples of where I screwed that up. So my advice is don't let short-term money get in the way of a long-term vision. And, you know, if you're going to make, you know, a lot of the houses that I sold, I was making 10, 15, 20 grand, you know, net, that had I just held it, you know, I could have increased that tenfold.
No exaggeration. If you had turned those into long-term cash flowing rentals, you would have made at least $200,000 on every single one of them today. Every single one of those flips that you took $20,000 for back then.
Cash flow. Instead, I'm sitting here doing a podcast with you. Yeah,
counting your nickels.
Right. That's right.
Asking to borrow $10 for gas money on your way home. You've done just fine either way. But the truth is cash flowing real estate is the best way to be a real estate investor, period. I don't care what anyone else tells you. It's fun to flip houses. There's a lot of neat things you can do with real estate, but at the end of the day, we highly suggest people look at real estate for what it's its best use, which is cash flowing real estate creates amazing wealth, and it does most of the work for you. It's a great tool where you capture that appreciation. The tenant pays your debt off for you, and you make cash flow every month that goes up year after year because your mortgage payment stays the same and rents go up. Real estate is incredibly powerful when you combine those three things of increasing cash flow, debt reduction by your tenant paying it off for you, plus appreciation. You combine those, and that's how you create real wealth using real estate.
I think that's very well said. You know, I could turn this into a very, very, very long, you know, podcast. I have a lot of other mistakes, but, you know, I think that, you know, those three that we just talked about are really some of the most important lessons that I can think of. I know that there's plenty of other mistakes that I've made, mistakes that I've even made this week. And I think that's what's important for everyone to realize, that this is a marathon, not a sprint. Real estate is not a get-rich-quick scheme that you're going to just wake up one morning and it's all going to happen for you. You have to make good decisions, and over time, those good decisions will really, really pay off.
I think it's great. So again, here's the three. Don't do these. Don't buy properties in bad areas. Don't work with untrustworthy people. And don't sell off your properties looking for short-term gains when holding them creates amazing wealth. So hopefully you learned from our lessons.
It's been good to go down memory lane with you, brother, but that is our show for today. We thank you for joining us. Please check out all of our other short form content. You can check us out on TikTok, Instagram, YouTube. We love bringing this to you. It's a revolution. Till next time, homies. Happy investing.